Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Wilford sets off upfield. He wants a speedster to run onto it. He might be the quickest. Oh, he kicks. He kicks ahead. And now Corey Oates will come. Oh, Oates with the one-handed pickup. How about that? Asako in behind them. He's confused. He didn't know whether to kick or whether to run. He takes the runner option. Jermaine Asako will score. Straight around them, down the wing, comes back inside. This is electric. This is Jimmy the Jet, and he's absolute best.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Hello, Broncos fans, and welcome to the round two episode of Broncos Weekly. As always, I'm Mitch, and I'm joined on the line by our good friend Simo. How you doing, Simo?
Yeah, not too bad. How about yourself?
Mate, well, we're doing it weekly, so I got the intro right for the first time in about a year because we've done it 2 weeks in a row. I remembered how to intro.
It feels a bit different doing a weekly podcast weekly.
Mate, the Kevolution has had the impact on the show at least. Maybe not what we wanted to see on the field, but on the show, we've come back 2 weeks in a row. We're here. We've fun it up. And yeah, we're here to talk about that terrible round two, the Broncos news in general, and whatever questions we got asked, but we're here. I don't know if we're goofy seeing it. I'm not at that stage, I certainly reverted to a bit of last year, the last couple of days.
Two weeks in a row, we've also edited the run sheet. That's like for the first time in 3.5 years. That.
Did you get there? So I put my notes in my messenger to you. So you got to the run sheet. That's pretty professional from you.
Yeah.
Okay, that's good. Anyway, mate, no amateur sports to talk about this week for you?
No, I stopped playing touch football this season, so.
Retired at the top of the game, mate. Cam Smith went out, and then Simo Alley. So this is just the right time. Feels like timing's right for the game.
I just had, AJ was born in December. And so between like 6 and 7, it's just painful time of day with two kids and all that, which is exactly when touch football's on. So I was like, hey, I'll give this season a miss. Might play next season, don't know.
Is AJ sticking? Is everyone calling him AJ?
Yeah.
Good. Oh, God, I pray it stays that way.
It's funny because, like, he's obviously a very white baby.
And oh, like, really?
But, like, AJ is such a white person name, but Adriel Jeremiah is not a very, like, white person name.
No, Adriel Jeremiah, for a white family, it does sound like you're a religious nut. That's just a fact. It just sounds like that. I don't know of the Book of Adriel or whatever it is, but probably
it's
exists.
It's not a book.
Yeah, well, there you go. So you knew that. That's how you're religious, nut. You knew that question. I didn't know that. But I just hope. I hope for his sake that AJ it carries through. Maybe he likes Adriel, but great name. It's one of those things, mate. Right result. I don't know about the process.
He's probably not even going to know what his first name is because, like, he's never going to get called it. So
that's it, mate. Well, as long as you keep it off, like, school rolls and all that kind of stuff, you're sweet. I don't know how that works.
I mean, I'll just change his name if we have to. I don't care. It's AJ.
Very true. Yeah, problem solved. Anyway, we'll get into... Let's do a bit of news first. We can start the goo feasting early before we get into the little bit of a recap. Oh, there has been a bit of news since we last recorded. I'm going to start, though, in the latest piece today. The talk of the Katoni Staggs contract offer of being $2.8 million over 4 years, but also talk of that offer being for him to play 6. So, Simo, going to use first. Let's ignore the money first. Let's go your take, Katoni Staggs moving to 6.
It's always been like... It's been a weird one where it gets talked about a lot, but I've never, like, seen much that makes me want him to play there. Mm-hmm. But, like, it gets talked about enough as if like everybody else has seen stuff that makes them think he'd be good there. Like, but I just, and so then you just kind of like go along with it. You're like, yeah, I guess people think that, like, I don't know. I've never seen much to make him go like, yeah, he would be a great six.
Yeah, I think I'm sitting there with you. It's like, I'm not against the idea, right? But I've never seen a thing that goes, mate, get him in the halves and just, you know, getting the ball more there. Like, getting him the ball's always been a good thing in attack. We all know that. Getting him the ball's always been a good thing. But I've not exactly seen the, you know, the ball carry in two hands, the go to the line, engage in the line, bringing someone else into the game, the kicking game outside of the grubbers to himself. I haven't seen that. But I mean, I don't think it can't work, but it just seems, I don't know.
It almost seems more like, and I mean, it'd probably be super like Hodges in this, that if he played that fullback, he'd probably break himself. But like, he needs to play more like a kind of modern fullback in attack rather than a half. Like, just you get, like, just let him run all over the field and get involved where he wants to and play out wider. I don't know. I guess we'll see.
It's just the easy, lazy comparison. But I do see similarities in the Jack Whiten and Raiders move. Like, they're both that kind of, both poor defensively in the centers. They just were. They just are. That's fine. But both good, strong ball runners. Both play really direct and run direct at players. And I think both of them are happy to, like, live and die by good and bad decisions. Like, you know how Jack Whiten can have a game and throw the ball over the sideline twice and just not give a shit? And just keep trying and kick a ball dead and not care. And it seems everyone ignores those bad things. If there's something good, everyone loves it. I think there's some similarities to what Katoni could do at six. Because the same thing, mate, when he plays in the centers, he's one of those guys that just, when he fucks up, he doesn't care, and nor does anyone else. But it just feels like, for me, 700K isn't that much money. If he's going to be a great six, that's fantastic. But for me, I feel like if I'm looking for a six, and I'm okay. If they're moving on for Milford, that's it. That's it, is what it is. We're looking for a six. Why don't we just go try and get a six?
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, have you heard this quote? I reckon how many people have heard this quote. But this comes from one Sean Munster. March 13 this year, he says, if another Brisbane team comes in, I won't say no to going back home. I do see myself moving to Queensland after football. And if a second Brisbane team comes in, I could go back earlier than expected. So, yeah, I wouldn't say no to that, joining that second Brisbane team. That's for sure.
Just go get him now.
Cut the fucking middleman out. Yeah, what are we waiting for here? Has nobody seen that? Like, if anyone in the Brisbane is listening to this thing, have none of you seen that?
But we have this same discussion every year when the players poll comes out and they get asked, what's the team everybody wants to play for? And it's like 66% Broncos and 33% Roosters and like 1% Melbourne. Yeah. Just like, the Broncos should have no problem recruiting players they want to get in the team.
They shouldn't. I do think we have problems now, but I feel like something like signing a guy like Munster, and we might not get him, but signing a guy like Munster, it's a really quick way to resolve some of the issues we have right now. That is, like, a lot of players are like waiting to see if they should re-sign. A lot of them are. And Jordan Rickey re-signed and said he hoped a lot of the other fellas follow him. Reece Walsh is gone. But like, if you sign a Munster, you watch the other guys who are all of a sudden thinking about going, oh, I was going to go to whatever, Bulldogs for 100K more a year. You watch that change. You watch it change instantly. That's what happens, mate. And like, that's what... the club needs that more than it needs just keeping the same team together. I know they probably think the same thing will happen if they sign Staggs, the other guys will follow, but it's not the same impact as a big signing like Munster could be.
No, it's definitely not. And especially with someone that's like one of the Queensland leaders in that Origin side. Like,
exactly. Everybody in Queensland loves him now. Like, you know, we've come around on him, mate. You weren't, you had your battles back in the rocky days. But we've all come around on old mate Cam Munster, so I wouldn't mind that signing. But I guess that's a pipe dream. I think the main thing is that 700K for Stags. If it doesn't work out, it's a lot of money for a centre. But if it doesn't work out at six, it's not like backbreaking money at centre. Like, Zach Lomax is on 650. Latrell was on near that money at one point. Like, you can get away with it, but it just feels like, that's what we want, let's just go get one. And I know they talk about him playing six in the juniors. What level juniors are we talking here?
Yeah, I never listen much when people are like played in the juniors, or the other one people bring up a lot is like, oh, he played it for like Samoa or whatever, or Tonga, or like, you know, some of those. And it's like a lot of random people playing the halves for those island nations in those mid-season games, yeah. And that, like,
and he did play there for us for the end of last year, but he got injured, and also that team sucked.
Yeah, like there's a lot of random people that play in the halves in those games.
Yeah, so like for Tony Staggs, otherwise, so in the New South, the NYC, the last year of that, he played for Brisbane, and he played that season. He played on the wing, the center, in the centers, and in the back row. That's 2017. So we're talking like four seasons ago, more or five, I guess, if you add include the seasons. I don't know. I haven't looked yet at his at any of the stuff younger than that. But that's already a long distance since you play, and you didn't play any six then. And playing, like, you can say, oh, I played six when I was like 13, but so did like Paul Gallen. Like, good players. Yeah, like, when you, yeah.
Anybody that was in the NRL probably played the halves at high school. Like, yeah. Because they were the best players.
Yeah. Got the ball first. That's how it worked. Yeah. Like, Cam Munster played hooker, mate. If you're hearing speak, he played hooker growing up. It's like, well, and? Like, so, yeah, I just think that's a bit of a strange one. And I do think, like, I understand the club moving on from Milford, and I definitely felt like he was so good in round one and then so bad last week, and immediately was so bad, people were right back off him again. But I'll never quit on his potential. I'm just one of the, I'm a sucker, mate. Just like people didn't quit on like Filiti Mateo and John Sutton or whatever, I'm never going to quit on Milford's potential. And when he goes, I'll be sad, and I'll hate every time if he plays well for another club. I'll ignore all the bad games.
Yeah, and just bring up all the good ones.
Exactly, mate. Yeah. But yeah, I do get them wanting to move on.
2016 was like, I know it's like, well, we just said how long ago it was, but it was also that good. Like 2015 also. You go back and watch those Broncos games in those 2 years, and it's just some of the most entertaining footy I've seen in my life. Like,
yeah.
And Milford was like most of that. Yes. And I just like, yeah, it'll always be like, well, Milford's the one not performing, but there's always like, we've had like, oh, this didn't fall his way. Like, there was never a half beside him, a proper half or this or that, you know. But it also is like on him too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, 100%. It's definitely on him too. So, but it's, yeah, it's, I mean, there's word out, like, I heard that last week he just, again, didn't take responsibility, which is whatever, but he wasn't making calls during the game again, and neither was Brody. And it's just like, well, what, like, fuck me, really? Like, you really just like, we're playing this hard, and we're in the game for the first like 20 or 30, despite dropping the ball a lot, and we're really just like not giving a shit because we're not playing at Suncorp still. Oh, well, it'd be weird,
man.
Yeah. Okay, so we might as well mention the good bit of news I mentioned there. Jordan Rickey has re-signed for 3 years, and yeah, I'm pretty happy with that. I don't think it's on big money. I haven't seen the reports. I think it's not that much, but I'm pretty happy with that because obviously losing Fifita, and we went from a place few years ago, we had like Gillett, Sam Thaiday, Glenn, Fifita was coming. We had Jaden Sua, whatever, to now having, we had like, at one point last year, we were looking at this season roster going, shit, we've got like Alex Glenn and Ben Teo.
I mean, that would have been great in 2012.
Yeah, but I'm pretty happy with that. What about you?
I mean, I don't think we lost Dave Fafita. We moved him on so we could bring Jordan Rickey into the side. Like, he's the one true talent.
Yeah, I mean, he had some terrible quotes. He's, the poor lad, the interview they put of him on the, the socials, he couldn't have choked up more, and they shouldn't have published it. They'd be like, look, Jordan, let's do that again.
But, yeah. Like, if it's not live, you can delete it and restart.
Yeah. But he had his second bite at the cherry and had some pretty good quotes today talking about, firstly, that he grew up as a Warriors fan, but he moved over here because there's more footy over here, and he wanted to stay at Brisbane, but he went on to say, like, no offense to Warriors, didn't want to play there, wants to play for the Broncos. Funny thing he said, this is so, again, such a signs of how far things fell last year that Kevin Walters can look like a genius compared to those morons. He says, I wanted to stay here. I feel like I built a strong connection with Kevy. Me and Kevy always chat. Sometimes he texts me and checks on how I'm going. That means a lot to me. It's like, so is that saying the last head coach didn't even bother sending like the random text that even like 80-year-old Wayne Bennett has figured out how to do on a phone?
Steve Old was too busy getting up at 5 a.m. going to work.
He has no time for text messages. Very well put, Simo. Exactly right. He's a busy man. He's got to work out and all that other garbage. I've read that. I'm like, this is it. Like, the club was so poorly run the last 2 years that, like, I've been over this, but the guy who picked Boyd over Slater, who picked Mbai in Origin and Corey Norman in Origin, and still picking Brody Croft in 7, looks like a genius compared to some of those fools and some of the decisions of the last 2 years. And he's not one, but they make him look like one. God. And the other thing he said was that, yeah, he was happy to stay, and he's hoping that his re-signing can be the start of the other boys jumping on and re-signing. So I did like that. That's after yesterday he was just like, fans, yeah, guys, like, love yous. And like,
all credit to the boys.
He's like, yeah, look, love yous getting behind us, and yeah, happy. And like, dude, what has any of that got to do with you re-signing? He's like, love the fans and the support. Poor guy. He also did get compared to, this is a Pete Bedell special, mate, a 2-in-1 comparison. He said he's the next David Fifita and also modeling his game over Sonny Bill Williams.
Oh, man, that is... like, come on, Pete. Come on.
Sneaky Pete. And that's the same Sneaky Pete of the day before at like 4 p.m. or 4:30 p.m. published an article saying they've lost Race Walsh. And now Ricky's going to follow. And the Broncos announced he's signing like 28 minutes later.
I love also that Jordan Ricky's the next Dave Fifita, who's about, what, 19 years old?
Yeah, I think they're the same age. It's like they play for the same like Broncos development system.
Like, calm down. Like, Dave Fifita's not Dave Fifita yet. Like, he's not anything yet. Like, he's going to be most likely, but...
Yeah, that's it. Pretty funny. And he missed the good parts of the quotes. Like, Ricky also said that he modeled his game after Ruben Wiki and Benji Marshall. It's like, yeah, give me a Wiki Marshall combination. That's the one I want. You call him Jordan Wiki. It's right there. And then bad news. We'll go back to bad news. So we mentioned a bit on the podcast. It got announced the day after, but I dropped a couple of things saying the Warriors. But Reece Walsh is off to the Warriors. I don't know how good he's going to be. I have backed him in. And fuck, I'm steaming. I heard he was going for good money. Then I saw the money was reported like $450,000 a year. That's not good money.
This is what I said to you after it happened, though, is we'll never know what we missed out on because he's going to the Warriors, who's probably going to just like butcher his career like a lot of the other players that go there. So we'll never know with the player that he might have been.
It's so, I know, but it's like, surely, like, and I'm not in those negotiation rooms and I don't know what happened, but you can definitely tell this week Kevy has a shift with Peter Nolan because Gordy's all of a sudden turned into a Broncos mouthpiece. And out of nowhere, Gordy's attacking Peter Nolan like 2 days ago, saying, oh, he's got to support Kevy and help him do his job. And then you've also got the other report for Brendan Piakoura's deal that now Kevy's at the coming to make an offer, which obviously again shows that he's got the shift with Peter Nolan. But man, it's like, it's just tough seeing like that guy, Nolan, maybe he's good or bad at his job over his career, maybe. But I have no idea how he's still there after the last 2 years, you know? I don't know, after all the contracts that were signed. But you look at the situation, it's like, this is the club that like gave Matt Lodge that contract. $700,000 to $800,000 a year for like 5 years.
Well, this is also like, I don't know how you can get to the thing where 2/3 of the players all had player options.
Yeah.
You've got the Matt Lodge contract. You've got Jack Bird. Then you've got this stuff here that they're all mad about. Like, but also, like, so obviously he's offering all these players player options and they decide this is the thing we hate. We're never doing this anymore.
Yeah.
How do you not fire the guy that did all of that?
That's what I don't get. Like,
you know, like, you're like, we're completely changing how we're doing this. We're going in a completely new direction.
But he's staying.
Fire that guy.
That's what I don't get. I feel like Dave Don, he starts on May 1st, and I think May 2nd, Pete Nolan's going to be pretty scared after he's had his tour of the facilities. But that's 100% it, mate. It's like, they all these things they're saying they're going to fix it now. It's like, but that guy, that he's still there. Like, again, even if he somehow is an amazing recruitment guy, you were there for that. That's not how professional sports works. You lose your job. If you make that window, that's just what it is, mate. Like, but it's like, so this is the club that handed out those deals you mentioned, plus had that one point in time where they paid Joe O and 500K and Flegler 600K to play off the bench. They did all that. And then they have this guy that they're like, this is going to be our fullback. He's going to be our guy. You know, there's reports Waltz was even trying to get in, like, we'll play wherever you want kind of thing. We lose him for 450 a year to the Warriors. It's like, so wait, so you've gone from all those massive deals. One day you've drawn a line in the sand, and the line in the sand didn't come at Matt Lodge or at Joe O or at even Flegler, who I rate, but still, even at that, or didn't come there. The line in the sand came at Dave Fifita and Reece Walsh, who could both maybe play for Queensland for the next decade.
Yeah.
Great. Well drawn.
Yeah.
And then the Piakura stuff, mate, like, that's the one I can cop Walsh going if this is like, that was the shake in the ground that you know, gets maybe Nolan moves or there's some change or they sign another guy. I can cop that if it was like the wake-up call. But if they lose Piakura on like 300 to 400K a year again, which is like no money, I'll be steaming. And I know no one knows who he is, but I've already racked him a few times. Like, I'm so confident that like him and Fifita will be the back row for Queensland for like 5 to 10 years. If we lose those guys in back-to-back years, I'll be steaming. So hopefully they settle for that. And the rumor is Kevy's had to come in over the top. But I don't know. I feel like he's going to go to the Bulldogs now as well. Whatever.
I mean, yeah, I don't know.
It's just frustrating.
Just don't do it. Just don't let him go to the Bulldogs.
Like, again, out of all the players you overpaid, that like what I never got the ceiling on paying all those middle forwards. We went over this. Like, even if those guys are worth that money, you can't pay like 7 middle forwards. You can't. And they did that, and then they've nickel and diming everywhere else. It's just really hard to understand. And then you see the Stag stuff come out, and I know Stags is a great player, and they want to move him to 6, but it's like, well, you lost a fullback. The guy you told who was your starting fullback next year, the plan was he was going to start at fullback next year. So you lost your starting fullback for 450, but you're going to turn a center into a 6 for 700.
It's like a bunch of those middle forwards you were just talking about before. So many of them seem to get paid like what they could potentially be. Like, yeah, if they lived up and became as good as they could, that's the money they would be worth.
Yeah.
And then they're like, no, we're not doing that anymore. But then I feel that is like exactly what they've done with Stags. Like,
yes.
Like, if Stags becomes as good as he can become, he's a 700K player. Like,
correct.
But then why is it like, do they just wake up and they're like, okay, this player we're trying to re-sign, let's flip a coin. Heads, we give him everything we've got. Tails, we let him go to whatever team we want. Like, we just don't care about them anymore. Like,
it just feels like, mate, I mean, this is an issue for a while, that it doesn't feel like they have a roadmap of like, hey, for the next 3 years, these are the players we have to keep. You know, we've got to keep like a Dearden and a Walsh and whatever, if that was their plan. It might not be their plan, but they don't seem to have that plan because it seems to change every year. Like, now we've just Katoni, we've got to keep Katoni, we've got to take Coates, we've got to keep Dearden. And I agree with most of that, but it's like, so they stay, then what, the next guy next year is going to want, like, who? Someone else wants 600K. Tessie New comes off contract again next year again. It's like, well, we can't lose Tessie. Here's 600K or whatever. And all that kind of stuff on a rotate.
It seems like, they don't. I mean, they might have a plan, but from the outside looking in, it looks like there's not much of a plan. And they're just going like a day at a time.
Yeah.
And like, okay, now this is the issue. Like, Tony Staggs is up next. He's the issue we got to deal with now. We deal with that in its own little bubble. Mm-hmm. And then we get to the next problem. And then we've got to figure out that one with the problem we just created for ourselves, paying Tony Staggs 700K.
That's it, mate. You've nailed it right there, because it's exactly what happened with Fifita, because they signed other guys and they got to Fifita and, like, you know, it started the year they thought he'd agree for like 500K and he didn't. And then his money kept going up and it's like, well, shit. But we've just signed Flegler and anyone. Oh, it's like, no, okay. You sort out the feeder. And then work your way back. You sort out the other ones. And it's so weird. Like, coming up to this point, every year it feels like 3 or 4 key players are off contract. It's bizarre. And it's just, they need one or two signings to really go their way over the coming weeks to change the direction those wheels are going. It's exhausting.
It is.
But the other bonus out of the Reece Walsh thing is there's talk that he wants to go now, and they may as well let him go now. But they want a player in return. And there's only like two players I want in return out of that Warriors team. I don't want a mediocre back or forward. I want like Hayes Perham or Paul Turner. Because I reckon Hayes probably would have been their fullback round one next year if they didn't have Reece Walsh going there. So give us Hayes. We'll take the consolation prize. I don't know. I don't know what happened. Okay, what other news we got? Oh, it's one. No, Priyakura. We kind of talked about it or not there, but yeah, we'll see. Hopefully he stays. I'm not confident. But again, same thing we spoke about, mate. Like, how do we keep getting to all these guys off contract at one point? I don't know. But I do want to talk about Corey Oates playing on the wing this weekend. Our boy Brains.
He is just an absolute specimen.
In every sense of the word, mate. In look and demeanor. Like, mate, that's... He spent like 4 years bitching he wanted to go to the back row. You know? And it's like, for a long time, like, no, you're the best in the wing, whatever, whatever. And he finally gets his way this offseason. He gets his way. He gets to the back row. They give him a whole preseason there. And then it gets to round one and he's not named. And the toys go out the cot and he's a winger the next week. He didn't even play one reserve grade game in back row. He went back to the wing to get back into first grade. It's like, mate, like I'm a big fan of Corey Oates, a long time on-field talent fan. But that is a reality check if you're not as good as you think you are.
Yeah, but you just wait. Next offseason's going to be like, I want to play second row.
Yeah, that's it, mate. Well, that's another one, mate. Like, I'm a Corey Oates guy and we have been for a while. But for a long time though, we were just signing him year to year. And then, true shock, who do we give two player option years to? Oh, Corey Oates on top of 1 year. And then all of a sudden, big money.
We've been over this, but yeah, just you should nothing good for the club is ever going to come out of player options. Either the player tanks and they're not what they're worth anymore and they're going to take their player options and screw you over. Or if they skyrocket in value because they're amazing, they're going to not take their player options and demand a new contract. So why are you giving anyone player options?
Yeah, like, so Corey Oates re-signed his new deal at the back end of 2019 to extend for 2020 plus 2 year player options. And from memory, he activated his option like middle of his terrible run of form last year. He's like, bang, options activated.
I'll take that money.
Yeah, that's it. 30th of May last year, but bang, I'm staying. It's like, exactly right, mate. It doesn't work out in the club's favor almost ever. That we've been through this as well. The only time I'd ever do it is exactly the situation we just spoke about earlier. If I wanted to get like Cam Munster at the club,
yeah,
and it was like 3 years and the fourth year, he'd only come if he gets a fourth year player option. Like, okay,
I mean, hell, I'd be like, mate, 2 years and you get 3 year player options after that. Just like whatever it takes to get someone like that.
Like, not when they had like nine of the current roster on it in a performance based industry. Bizarre. God, it does feel like we're back to a bit of last year. I'm trying to keep the hope, and there's been some good changes we've seen around the joint. We have seen, but then I still get to see Brody Croft play halfback Saturday night, so that's still a thing.
Oh, keen for that.
Yeah, but the club needs re-signings bad, hey? Like, Ricky's just not enough to keep fans at bay.
Well, Ricky's, like, no offense to him, but he's not a huge name. Like, he's a bit of a nobody at this point. Like, not having a go at him, but yeah, like he's, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what he's signed for, but it, you know, it seems like he's gonna, I think the word was about 300 to 350, which is pretty good for 3 years. And those are exactly for once the signings win. Because if they re-signed him 2 years ago, they would have given him 600K. You know, the way that club was working. That's exactly the type of signing we need to do. That's a good one. So do some more of those and we'll be in a good space.
Him and Payne Haas are the only two good contracts in the club.
Yeah. So do we want to talk about his goddamn godforsaken round two game?
Not really, but no. I guess we should. How long have we been? Obliged. I can't see the recording time now.
It's been like half an hour, mate.
I mean, in general, I guess... If you take out, I mean, there's always like, oh, if you take out this.
Yeah.
But like 10 minutes before halftime aside, not that we were good, but we weren't worse than them.
I agree with you, by the way. I don't think the Titans were particularly good in this game. The main takeaway people had from this game was the Titans blew us off the park. It's like, well, that is true. For 10 minutes, they scored like a 3 million tries. But we were in the game or outperforming them for the rest of that 80. Yeah. It doesn't mean it wasn't a disgraceful performance, because it was. They only completed 65%, and they kept dropping the ball. At the start of that game, they turned the ball over for no reason so many times. But, like, yeah, I don't think straight back to last year, like many people thought, they said we didn't let the game go. That little period felt like it, but it was 22-4 at halftime, and 28-16 isn't great, but it's like at least we didn't fucking let it go to 40 again.
But, like, a lot of people were going on about how much better the Titans were playing and all this, and it's like the three tries they scored just before halftime were all nothing good they did. They were literally just hit-ups. Yes. Like, all of that is just bad Broncos defense. Like, there wasn't special backline plays or anything good that was happening.
Yeah.
Oh, I think there was that weird kick from Don or whatever. But, like, most of their tries were nothing special at all. Like, and it's just bad Broncos play. But for most of the game, it sounded like Gus in the grand final here. But for most of the game, the Broncos were playing better.
Yeah, 100%, mate. By the way, in that game, I think we can see the single point with Pango on the field. I don't know if we did. I don't think we did. And it's not saying, like, those things are always a weird correlation thing, but it just feels like without Haas and without Lodge, those periods of those games when we take Pango off as well, we get steamrolled. So, like, he was on to the 17th minute and went off, came back on at halftime. So in that period, we conceded 22 points. And then he went off the field again. They did score once when he was on the field, actually. There you go. And then he came back on again late. But anyway, scored that try at the end. But he's having a red-hot year. He looks like the player again we thought he was, which is great. He looks fantastic. But there's still just like that period there. We all knew Fafita was going to score, right? We all knew this.
Yeah.
It was very concerning how easy we made. He said they just hit up. God, that's what they were. God, it was concerning watching this like run over, getting one-on-one somehow, just running over people in that period.
Well, there was the worst hit up was after his first try. There was one just straight up the middle and then like scored under the post or next to the post or whatever. I was like, what are you guys even like? It was Josh King type defense. Like, what are you guys doing?
Yeah. And I've got to talk about this one play that I keep fixating on. And I know you've probably seen it or revisited, but if you haven't, if you're listening at home, I'm talking about 10 minutes into the game, we're in Titans territory and we have the ball and we run an attacking play from the right-hand side of the field. Milford's in first receiver, gives the ball to Croft. Croft gets the ball and there's a gaping gap in front of him, And instead of running into the gap, he just passes the ball to Glenn and Glenn gets tackled. And on first watch, it isn't much. But every time we watch it, it is worse and worse every time, because if he does anything but what he did, we score. Because there's two men unmarked at the back. There is a gap in front of him. The only thing he's good at is running. Just run into the gap. He didn't do that. So he just gave a crash ball to Glenn and got tackled, because this is the guy. He's such an unnatural halfback. He just predetermines everything he does. He's still good at running behind the ruck because he just tucks the ball on his arm and runs. But if he's not running, he knows he's passing and he doesn't look at the line, looks where he's passing, he passes before he gets to the line, doesn't engage at all. And you watch those things happen, mate, and it's like, how is this man repeatedly in this team paid to do this shit and in the side every week? And like, on top of that, there was the situation where he did that weird 20 minutes left in the game when JT laughed on the game coverage at him, where he got the ball first receiver, dummy to no one, ran left and then just like didn't know what to do, dummy to turning Bullmore back under and ran into him. If you remember, ran into Bullmore and then like walked back and threw the ball to Jordan Rickey, and JT just laughed. It's like that guy was terrible in that game, but I can't get past that 10th minute play of like, if all he did was run the ball or pass it to Herbie at the back, we score and the entire script can be different from there. We've seen with the new rules, once teams get ahead and get on top, they roll away.
Yeah.
And that, tiny thing that that guy's been in first grade for so long as a halfback still can't do this basic thing of saying, hey, there's a gap, run into it, or hey, there's two Titans and four Broncos. If I pass the ball, we score. To anyone else, sorry. If I don't pass to the guy running the decoy line who's hitting one of the Titans, yeah. Anyone else, we score. Oh, and he's back in the game this week, but it's okay. He's okay, Simo. They switch sides, so it's going to all work again. Milford's back to left, Brody's right.
This will be completely fine then.
It'll be fine. And Milford was awful. I hated that guy. Like, can we get him on a Suncorp contract? Like, he just plays games at Suncorp.
Yeah.
Not good. Okay.
We just need to convince like 12 teams a year to bring their home games to Suncorp like Manly do. And we just play 24 rounds at Suncorp on a Friday night.
Yep, I like it. I'm not going to bother with my man Carrigan again. Everyone saw the mistakes and his piss poor effort, and everyone saw those. I also think there's that issue still with this team too, mate. When they make like half a break, they still can't just like die with the ball.
They just choke.
They throw the ball, mate. Like, there was that, again, Brody did it after Milford made a break, but really early in the game, we dragged Brimson into touch. And I like tackle two of that set after it. There's a bit on down the right. Asako dummies, defender doesn't bite, and he gets tackled one-on-one. Instead of realizing it's not on, he just like, well, there's an overlap, throw it. And he threw it to the Titans. And it's like, Jermaine Chief, we had four more of those tackles. Many of those happened. It just all the time. Even when Xavier Coates scored that try at the end of the game. We almost, like, Tessie had a pretty good game, I thought. Of all the people who played well for us, I thought he was quite good. Even then, he almost bought. Like, how do we, it happen to us all the time? So, how do people get dropping the ball, like, over the goal line?
No other team does it as much as we do.
No, they don't. Like, you go through it, like, that happened in this game. Week before, Brody and Turpin happened. We've been through it so many times. Like, the couple times Oates did it. When Jack Bird dropped the ball twice over the goal line in the same game. You know that time his hands didn't move? The ball just hit him? When he bounced the ball in the end goal, like, it just keeps happening. Or when Alex Glenn also had one of those ones when there was no one in front of him and Milford popped in, it was the short ball, and again, his arms didn't go up. It's like, I don't know.
Oh, there's some peculiar ones.
Yeah. But in the end, I actually think, as you said, mate, I don't think we played bad. Everyone else in the competition beat us that day. I do believe that. That 20-minute period was a disgrace. With a bad that period, not that bad out of it, but that period will lose you any football game. But I don't feel that awful because, like, it's not like the Titans, I don't feel like the Titans played us in the park, and I don't feel like that would happen for that 20 minutes just isn't going to happen every week.
Well, you touched on it before, but I guess the main positive to take out of this game is that every game last year when that 10 minutes happened before halftime, they'd come out and just get blown out in the second half. Like, there was never any fight back ever.
Yeah.
Whereas I guess the positive here is that we won the second half.
Yeah, we did. And of course, they don't give competition points for that. But I even thought we actually outgained them, by the way. By, again, a game that generally yardage equals win, we outgained them by over 200 meters.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I thought even Reece Kennedy played all right, mate. I thought some of the forwards were okay, bar how soft they were in the middle for that little period. We just need Haas and Lodge back, or Haas mainly. So we just can't have that long period of the game where there's no Haas or Pangai on the field. We can't have 40 minutes. Like, obviously, we have 80 minutes of that Haas at the moment. We can't have half of the games without those guys on the field.
Yeah, and then if you get them both back, you just need to at least stagger it so there's not...
Yeah, there'll be periods when they're both not on, but we just can't have, like, that massive block of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it sucks, but oh well. This week, though, we get the Bulldogs, and we need it. We need a win because we've got, after this, we have the Storm, Panthers, Storm, Bunnies, Panthers, Eels in a row after this game. So we need their win bad. I think we can do it. I've said it too many times, but I think we can do it. Even with Brody Croft and Milford there, I think we can do it.
Yeah, I guess we'll see.
Yeah, I'm not even going to say we're going to do it now. It's like, I think we can.
Broncos 13 plus.
Yeah. Yeah, but next week we get back Lodge and likely, sorry, Haas and likely Lodge. Lodge did contract training today, so I'm assuming he's only a week away. But yeah, you'd think now, you know, this is the my concern is like if we win this game, they'll probably keep Brody in the seven. Then we get to play Melbourne.
Revenge game, mate.
Oh, revenge game. Yeah, it's great. And oh, on the back of what you pointed out the other week, by the way, how Brody touched the ball so little at first receiver in round one at all, generally, actually. I ended up looking it up this week. He has the least touches at first receiver of any halfback in the competition, and that's including Anna Reynolds got knocked the fuck out. So in two games, and then less touches than that. Like, Reynolds played half that game. So anyway, he has 38 touches at first receiver over two games. Isaiah Yeo has 39. Not great. Benji Marshall off the bench has 36. Tevita Pangai Jr. has 32. Like, these are people who are touching the ball in the same vicinity in first receiver as our goddamn halfback.
38 or whatever. This is like, yeah, it's what, 9.5?
Yep.
In a half of football.
For your halfback.
Where you have roughly 20 sets.
Yeah. Got in the first receiver 9 times a half.
Out of, yeah. Go on, mate.
Like, sometimes you can have halves overcook it, but we all know there's been some sets in some games where a team's halfback will touch the ball like 6 times in that set. You know, yeah. An attacking set, they might touch it every second tackle or multiple times on the one tackle. We have a half who's, and by the way, again, that's 38 first receiver touches. That includes every kick pretty much. Like, that's how little he's getting the first receiver.
Because he gets passed straight to him on a kick. He's always first receiver on a kick, he does.
So that's, I've looked at the number.
How many kicks does he have?
Oh, he hasn't got that many. I haven't got that in front of me, but I think it's only like 10 kicks anyway. But still, it's, what has he got last week? He has, oh, this is good radio. Last week he has, oh God, scroll. 5 kicks last week. I think it was like 6 or 7 the first week, but yeah.
Okay, so say it's like 11 off 38. So he's down to 27 touches.
At first
receiver over two games.
As the halfback, as the guy, again, it's not, the whole narrative about him is supposed to be controlling this team, mate. He's supposed to be getting in the first receiver and all that kind of stuff. But I think the best thing about it, though, is actually we look worse every time he's in first receiver. So it's probably a good thing that he's not getting in there.
Can we, like, start sending anonymous emails to Kevy? Like,
I don't need anonymous. Listen,
just leave your name on it. Just blast him.
Yeah. But, it's just embarrassing. And I think one more week, like, when it's just the same thing, like, Kevy, he's picked a pretty good 17, but we saw this in Origin, mate. He's like, he just gives guys too many chances.
It's Kevy. He just wants to be best mates with everyone.
Yeah.
He's like classic, that manager that wants to be friends with people over, like, yell at people for not doing their job properly.
Yeah. And even if he might get mad, like, post-match, he was steaming. By day later, oh, man, I'm sorry. Come on, mate.
Yeah.
you'll play this week, mate. I'm sorry. I'll take everything I said.
He needs to set his, like, 17 half an hour after the game. Like, yes. Just write it down and, like, that's the 17 for next week.
Tell him he's dropped when you're angry after the game. He won't be angry in 24 hours and that'll be it. And that's my concern is, like, yeah, he just got a whole dumb line. You got to play your way out of the team kind of thing, you know. Ugh. Oh, well, anyway, anything else you want to say about this game? I think I don't really bother previewing. I think we should win, but I don't know. The Bulldogs pack is custard, but I don't know.
I honestly just wouldn't be shocked if we lost. Like, I think we'll win, but I also thought we'd beat the Titans.
Well, the thing is, like, this Bulldogs team have been really bad, but they've been doing the same thing right now. They're penciling in the calendar. They think this is their first win as well.
Yeah, for sure.
So they'll turn up fired up. We'll see, but that pack has been pretty poor without Thompson. They also have a tough run, by the way. They have Bunnies and Storm next, so they'll be begging for this win as well.
But, I mean, like, overall, for over the two games, like, that first game, we weren't too bad for most of it as well. Like, I was pretty positive after the first game.
We played well.
Yeah, so, in general, you know, I think we've been playing better than the Bulldogs have been.
Oh, 100%, mate. We've outplayed the Bulldogs and the Cowboys and Sea Eagles and Tigers without a doubt in my mind. And so I don't think we've been this bad, but it's just like, I just know looking at that calendar that because of the games coming after it, we just need this goddamn win now. Because even if we can keep playing well-ish and only losing by 12, we're still losing by, you know, if we lose by the Storm by like 10 points, that's best loss of the Storm in forever. But if we keep losing, it's still, oh, you're 0-7. Doesn't matter if you, oh, we're 0-7, but we were better 0-7.
Yeah, but we were better 0-7 than we were last year.
Yeah, that's it. Anyway, should we go into the questions?
Yeah, we'll start on Twitter because there's not many here.
Mm.
I'll just reload this to make sure. From _Mert1, with the problems we're experiencing with the pipeline and identification of talent, was it the right move to continue our Q Cup affiliation with North, South Logan and Wynnum? Do you think these clubs are developing players appropriately? Why isn't Nolan's job on the line?
So I think that first part of that question, I think there's been too much emphasis put on those clubs. Like we've only just gone to the 3-club system this year. We had Redcliffe last year and that's obviously comp didn't play, but for a long time we had 5 or 6 feeders, but we don't really like those clubs don't really develop players for us. You know, like we sign whoever we want when they're like 15 or 16. The Broncos have got like 1 million scholarships in rugby. That's why we have all these guys who are like, oh, the Broncos said no to me when he was 12. It's because we get like 1 million scholarships. But it's like, you know, Xavier Coates was at Tweed Heads. So I think it was Tom Dearden at Tweed Heads. Anyway, all those guys from the Gold Coast didn't come from our system. Yeah, South Logan had like Fafita and those guys play there. But like, we don't really take them from their system. We already sign the players before we assign them to those teams.
And then put them in those systems.
Yeah, exactly. Like, yeah, sure, we might assign from them when, like, they might have been 16 at South Logan and we sign that player. We might get first look at a guy now who's not contracted. But, like, on the whole, we already have the Broncos players. We just assign them out to those clubs. That's just how it works. And when they're younger, they get it. We don't even give them just to feeders. Like, for example, again, Coates at Tweed Heads he lives on the Gold Coast thing, not he's a Broncos junior thing. So, like, that's just what it is. And then when they get older, yeah, now we have the opportunity, for example, at Norse, you know, there's Danny Levi playing there. I'm not saying we're going to play him in first grade, but it's like, well, maybe we get first look at him from there because they're a feeder. Or say, Carmichael Hunt at South Logan and he's having the comebacks on, mate, and chunky Kevin Locke's there. And it's like, you know, we get first dibs there potentially, but it's not really their job to give us players.
Well, this kind of goes into the next question from Xavier Goetz.
No, we get the rest. What's the rest of his question?
I'm going to come back to it.
Okay. Okay.
Sorry. But from Xavier Goetz, this just ties in. He said, was the South Magpies backline better than our current backline? And when should we bring in Locke, Oates and Carmichael Hunt?
That South Logan team they've assembled this year, and it won't stay together the whole year. Because obviously Oates and Dearden are very likely to end up in first grade for Brisbane. But if you haven't seen that backline from the weekend in their torrential rain win over the Burley Bears, so they had fullback, they had Credence Toa. So no one knows him, that's fine. But they had Kevin Locke on one wing, Corey Oates on the other wing, Carmichael Hunt at left center inside of Corey Oates, Isaiah Tass at right center, who's on his Broncos development contract had come up from the Bulldogs, Tom Dearden at 6, Albert Kelly at 7. That is one of the best.
Oh, Albert Kelly.
Yes, that is one of the best Queensland Cup backlines you'll ever see. And not a shock they won, and not a shock like Oates and Kevin Locke, even though Lockstick in particular were awesome because Locke would come infield a bit. Dearden was awesome. Kelly was awesome. And Carmichael Hunt was pretty good. Like, there's no shock that team won. I don't know if it's better, though. It's close.
What I would give, though, for Carmichael Hunt to be in the Maroon and Gold again. Like,
right. Well, Kevin Locke's like looking chunky and had some quotes about he's looking for first grade as well. And Carmichael's like, I won't say no. Maybe, mate.
Oh, man.
Maybe there's more of them in the Broncos back line by end of season than there is current Broncos.
So, yeah, going back to Mert 1 again, he said, why isn't Nolan's job on the line?
I think it is, mate. I think with what's happened over this last, you know, 4 months or so, Dave Donaghy hasn't been able to take his job up. Whilst they've done decisions with this coaching stuff and stuff. They haven't really done like the front office decisions. They haven't done like any changes in that respect yet. So I think recruitment guy goes, who's going to hire the recruitment guy? You know, Dave Don, he's not there yet. So I think he's on the block. I actually just think they would be better off going with nobody for 3 to 4, like, over that period. But yeah, I think he is on the block, mate. I do want to mention, by the way, in that Magpies Bears game, start watching Kobe Hetherington. He's playing at 13 now, which is good. I couldn't send him at 9. Playing at 13, he had 16 runs, 160 meters in those conditions. He was on fire. Only guy making like 10 meters run in that game. But I do believe he will pretty much debut the moment he's allowed to. So development contract, he can't play, I think, round 10 or 11. But I do believe he'll be on the Broncos bench like pretty much instantly. So keep an eye on him. And you'll get a look at a guy coming in first grade soon.
Another one from Xavier Goetz. That Fifita guy is pretty good, eh?
I mean, it was one of those things, mate. He got one-on-one with a half twice, and that's just it. We know from when he was at Brisbane. That's just it. It's over.
I mean, even when he was at Brisbane, he was like, he'd run through half the Cowboys side. Like, he doesn't even need to be just one-on-one with a half.
Yeah, that's right. But we knew it was like both those times he scored, I knew before he caught the ball, he was scoring.
Yeah, that first one, there was like 38 meters of space with him and one other person out there. Like,
yeah,
he's literally like double the size. Of course he's going to score there. From Eddie and Zed, thoughts on Herbie Farnworth? What's his best position in a fully fit squad?
Herbie had a pretty average game last week. Like, he was pretty poor in that game. He had some decentish moments, but I back him in. I just don't know if his best position isn't on the wing. I guess we'll figure it out. I think fully fit, I think Tessie's been pretty good at center as we'd hoped. And I think fully fit this year, it's at least Tessie and Stags in the centers. But maybe they're thinking long term. It's Herbie, Tessie centers with Stags at 6. But yeah, I don't mind it. I don't think he's a lock in the starting lineup though. Like, I wouldn't be surprised in a couple of weeks if we saw a wacky decision like we saw Corey Oates wing Mead center. I wouldn't be shocked by that.
Yeah.
Not saying I like it.
From Mitch __S__, it needs a new name.
Yeah, too many.
A lot of syllables in that. Please provide an update on how Simo's mullet is shaping and what jerseys you'll be wearing to Magic Round.
Well, Simo, we started doing video recordings for this, yeah, which made our timing better. Obviously, people have probably noticed, but it is a goddamn glorious mullet now. It is like,
I'm doing what I can.
Mate, it is well over the collar. It's, you know, where does it come down to when you shower? It
comes down to about, probably like 5 or 6 inches below my shoulders.
How many vertebrae are we talking? We're talking like 8 vertebrae down?
I can't feel that. Like, but is it, like,
yeah, mate.
It's a bit shorter there because it's like in front of my shoulder, but at the back, it goes a fair way.
What's your Magic Round? Have you got a Magic Round kit line up yet? I feel like that's something you'd be on.
I'm not even going to pack a shirt. I'm going to wear this jersey down on the plane, which I'm wearing a Western Reds jersey, and I'm wearing that back on the plane back up on Monday morning too. I'm just wearing it the whole week, and I'm going to make Campo proud of me.
That's good. Well, like, I, at one point, I have heaps of like old English jerseys, and I have old league NRL ones too. And if Magic Round was last year, I would have worn the old English ones. But I'm so off the Super League at the moment, like with the Toronto stuff. I can't wear them, mate. So, the Broncos day, obviously, I wear a Broncos jersey, probably the Diamond Special because it's a special occasion. And the other ones, I'll just pull out whatever old jerseys I've got. I've got like an old Fiji one I wore to the pack tests the other year, and I covered myself in tomato sauce. It was good in bright white, but yeah, I don't know. I don't really think about the wardrobe that far ahead. A couple of old jerseys.
I might put in the 85 Bengals Ocho Cinco jersey.
Oh, mate.
That's always a classic.
NFL jerseys. Well, now we're talking.
Yeah. Oh, I just, that, the 85, it's just such a good fit on my like slightly overweight body too. Cause it's like, you know, NFL jerseys are like a bit bigger. So it's just, it fits well. And it's Ocho Cinco. So it's all around. It's a good one. From Mitch again, he said, how's Pickles and Alfie doing?
Mate, Pickles has found this bed. It's from Kmart that may be like, I've never seen something. I bought one. I've never seen someone so connected and comfortable in a bed. And I'm envious every day. He sleeps more than ever, doesn't move, but he looks like he is sleeping on a bed of clouds on a daily basis. So he's loving life at the moment. He's got two of them now, and that's it. His life is now complete. He lives in a bed, gets up and he eats, and then he goes back to his bed.
Well, we've got Alfie a dog bed. It's in our bedroom. And yeah. So like, when you go to bed at night, I'll chuck him up on the bed because it's like too high for him to jump up on most of the time because he's just lazy. But about 2 minutes after we've gone to bed, he'll just jump off the bed and then he'll just lie on the floor next to his dog bed, just lie on like hardwood floor.
Classic dog move, the cold hardwood.
Like, buddy, it's literally a bed. Is like your back is touching the bed. You're lying right up against the bed. Just lie in your bed.
Now, Pickles, no.
Doesn't want to do it.
Yeah, but Pickles only lies on the floor when it's boiling hot, mate. Otherwise, anything, like, if you put like Mrs. Rolls her yoga mat out, right, to work out every day, and every day he's like, oh, when she puts it down, he's like, oh, this is for me. He always like, until she kicks him off. Every single day he thinks, that's my bed.
Yeah, now Alfie just, he just always lies around. He's a good fella though, for the most part. He gets it. We have, this is the most annoying thing he does, but so we'll play D&D and we have the same people come around at the same time every week. And it's like, buddy, you should know these people. But they'll walk in the door and he'll spend just 5 minutes just barking at them. And it's like, buddy, you know, these people are here every week. Like, just chill. But he wants to give him some KFC chips or whatever, he calms down. Some of the dirty bird. From Liam Patrick, 1993. How will Paul White's time as the Broncos CEO be remembered? Should this year be included in his list of many failures?
We were on that Paul White fraud bandwagon very early in the piece. Remember there was a couple, like 2 years ago, people, like he was getting talked about NRL CEO and we were laughing at it on here.
Yeah.
So, mate, he was just made by Wayne Bennett, and outside of that, failure followed him at this club. Like, yeah, I couldn't care less what he's doing now. He's not getting the big CEO job he thought he was getting.
I'd put like this kind of year down on him. Like, he'd made decisions that are still in place in this year. The new CEO is not even here yet. Like, no one's going to remember the name of an interim CEO and blame him for this season. Like, you know, and I'm always happy to pin more things to Paul White anyway. So. Yeah. From Darren W006. Hey guys, our best ever teams had a large amount of their salary cap invested in the back line. With Stags asking 700K plus a season to stay, do you agree with this premise? And should this limit then what's offered to Piakura?
I think we have money. They won't limit Piakura's offer at all. We have like 16 players off contract. We have money to sort those guys out. But I don't agree with that sentiment because our best ever teams are a long time ago now. And even like, I get we had those superstar back lines. Those back in the days and Wayne notoriously, Wayne Bennett wouldn't pay a forward. So, well, mate, he's paying him now. Huh. That's a long time ago now. And like, I mean, you look at back, 2006 Broncos grand final side, right? Our last great team. We had some fun ones after that. But you look at that side and that was just great in every position pretty much. So, you know, it's like it had Stag and a centers in that year to win it, but they had that great pack and a great back line. Like, I just think the issue with the current Broncos roster isn't, oh, we need to spend heaps on backs or heaps on that. We just misallocated funds in general. Like, why is our spine shit? Nothing, like the rest of it doesn't really matter if that's shit. It just doesn't.
Yeah. From us_Tedder. Did we actually improve in the second half or did the Titans just shut up shop?
Bit of both.
From at like the Marpoulos. I moved house in late 2016 and I didn't rehang my Broncos flag at the new place. It is in storage somewhere. Has this caused the Broncos decline? Is this all my fault?
I'm looking for more people to blame. So you're on the list.
Well, that's the last one from Twitter, so we'll go over to Facebook, which there's 33 here now. Sorry, just gotta load them all. From Matt Weston, I know you boys probably would have brought this up already, but can we please discuss what Brody Croft is doing behind the scenes to keep his position at halfback over Tom Dearden? Some weird stuff going on, that's for sure.
Well, can you ask that again? Start at the top of there.
Just asking what Brody Croft's doing behind the scenes to keep his halfback position.
Yeah, I honestly, I don't know. Give me a bit of this. Like, I don't know how that guy has tricked so many coaches, both good and bad.
That's the one that always gets me. Is like, it's not just that he's tricked Kevy, because like, I think anyone could probably trick Kevy, but the fact that he kept his halfback spot for like two seasons plus at Storm, and it's like, and Craig Bellamy, like, Craig Bellamy didn't owe him anything. Like, you would have thought after like seven games, he would have just been like, no, like, I'll find somebody else. But he kept playing there.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. Like, he kept playing there and he was bad for them that whole year, and he got a good run at the Storm. But like, yeah, I don't know. He did that with Bellamy. Like, he was like on the path to being the halfback for like 2 years. Croft leaves. He gets that first year, he kind of flips with Jacks. The second year, he gets like the full season until they drop him like round 26. Whatever it was, right before the finals. But, like, good coach fell for that crap for an entire 2 years. In the, like, the, it's not an easy place to play halfback than there. That, and then, like Seabold or not, obviously I don't, but that's still another head coach that he fooled. And this is now the third. And it's not like, there's definitely guys out there who fool head coaches. Like, a guy like Bryce Carter, I'd probably get a contract for the rest of his life. Because coaches look at him, oh, look, he's 195 centimeters, 100 kilos, and he can offload.
Yeah, yeah. So, and they think they'll get the best out of him.
Yeah. But like, man, you can see those skills. We can see, like, even with all the dumb shit Bryce starts, we can see the actual skills.
Yeah. Even when like he refuses to make a tackle and he just be lazy, like, everybody can see the freakish stuff he can do.
Yeah. That's it. And like, even other guys like have deals forever. Like, Tata Moga's still getting first grade deals. Like, he's not playing, but yeah.
It's, again, a similar thing. Like, people see how big he is. He can fend off a guy and he can get a pass away. Like,
yeah. The Brody's a halfback who can't pass or kick or steer a team.
And he bombs every time he gets in half a gap.
Yeah. I don't know what he's doing behind the scenes, but, mate, like, I'd love to know, because you think if you had his talents and you're any half decent in your job, imagine how far you could go in your workplace if you were even half decent.
Once football's up for him, he should like start selling Tupperware, because he'd be a great upline. He'd make a lot of money in an MLM. Yeah. So imagine, think of all like the soccer mums he could convince to sell Amway.
Yeah.
From Johnny O'Donnell, do you think the board have more control over the team than Kevy? Hopefully when Donaghy arrives, he can tidy up the top end.
Yeah, I think everyone's gone that holding pattern for Donaghy to come in and shake things up. And yeah, what, May 1st couldn't come sooner. He's certainly got a challenge, mate.
Some of these, there's a lot here on Facebook, and some of these we've already talked about, so I'll probably skip some of these. But from Vince Berlin Gary. And this is in all caps, but I'm not going to yell. How the F is Pat Carrigan still in the team after last week's performance? And why is he so bragged about? I don't see it. And then there's 7 exclamation points.
A man after my own heart.
Yeah, I think we talked a bit about Carrigan. I don't think any of us are really seeing what other people are seeing.
Never seen it. Ever seen it. Like, it's always just that stat line at the end of the game. You look at it. Never makes an impact with his runs or his defense. Has big tickets on himself, I've heard as well. Yeah, just not a fan. And maybe if he plays less minutes, we'll get more out of him. But one of those guys that if someone announced, oh, the Broncos dealt another blow as X steals, you know, workhorse lock or some shit, I'd be cheering. Like, go ahead. Just do us a favor, somebody.
From Adric Mason, what are your thoughts on this year's jerseys and training gear?
I do love that they're... So last year they announced that Nines jersey when, like, the Nines weren't on. We all knew they weren't on. And they announced the Nines jersey. So now it's now a Magic Round jersey this year. They've got it out. The Magic Round jersey's working. It's kind of that 90s vomit pattern. So... I find that interesting. The jerseys this year for mine are better than last year. Still not great Broncos jerseys, though.
Yeah, pretty much that.
What are the training tops? I mean, I'm going to Google them because they don't stick in my mind right now. Yeah, they're okay. They're Broncos training tops.
I mean, I haven't seen these ones, but this should be pretty simple. You make it maroon, you put a bit of yellow somewhere, and like 38 logos from local radio stations. That's a training top.
Yeah, the training top kind of has the same pattern I think the Magic Round does on it, but it's just like maroon and dark maroon. Like, yeah. The away kit I don't mind because you can't see that dumb V that's cutting to it on TV. Like how it's like the stripes of V in it. But yeah, the home kit is actually, I like it more than I thought I would. But it's just much better than last year's disaster kit.
Most things are. From Ciara and Paul Watt, will Painthouse be what we need? Someone to own the forward pack.
I mean, Painthouse is the man. We already know Painthouse is our guy, right? We already know he's like one of the best forwards in the competition.
Yeah, he's definitely top 10 middle, better than Jai Arrow.
Yeah.
From Louis Forster. Is Kevy a Seabold 2.0 with not kicking Croft and Milford to the curb for their bad performances, poor performances? I put in more effort getting to the game than they do playing it.
No, because Seabold 2.0 is a whole other different level of shit. But I think we've been through this. Is like Milford probably deserves a rocket. Well, we said this last year too. I wouldn't be against you getting dropped for a week or two for a rocket to him and the rest of the roster. But you can't drop two halves for one half. Like, who else plays six? We don't have anyone else.
You just drop one and then you drop the other later and bring the other one back. You just have a rotating door of three halves.
And that's it. Like, we haven't got any other options. The other guys who played in the halves for us is Turpin's played there, Staggs has played there, but Dearden's the next other half back. And there's like not really anyone in reserve grade that we have contracted who can come in and play the position.
Michael Hunt.
Going to get him contracted. I like it.
David Ryland. I have the impression that Kevy is allowing our highest paid players to play themselves either in or out of the roster. I don't believe he's picking the best at the moment, but he's testing their talent versus effort. By season's end, he will know who to move on.
Yeah, I don't know.
I just want to move Croft on and then like have a couple of months, see the team then, and then like, I guess, think about it a bit more.
That's it for me, mate. Like, I know this has been the greatest cop out of Milford's career. We've all used it. Got in, he needs a seven. Can we like just play him with Dearden for like 6 weeks and just see how the whole team goes?
Just put Dearden in for the rest of the season, play Milford there.
Yeah.
Just have a look at it.
Yeah, and then it does feel like I don't know if he's doing the thing. I think he's picking at the best team he thinks he's doing now. Like, I do think he thinks he's doing that. Like,
from Daniel Gauchy, opinions on going after Reynolds. I can totally see us offering him a 3-year deal and losing Dearden.
No interest, mate. Like, I do think Reynolds, he's one of the best halfbacks in the competition, but that's an indictment on the quality of what halfbacks have turned into. That upper class halfback the last couple of years, we've lost like Thurston and Kronk and those guys. And we haven't had others really step up into that echelon.
I think he's better than like Shane Perry, but I think he's like not much better than Shane Perry. Like, if you get what I mean, like,
yeah,
if Shane Perry played today, he would be like around about that level.
Mate, it's just one of those guys. Like, Reynolds is really good at what he's good at. A great kicking game. You know, pretty good director of traffic and that kind of stuff. But I cannot get behind a halfback for my side that they want to bring onto my side who can't run the damn ball. I don't care if it matters or not to others, but I can't get behind it. And it's like, if we're going to lose Dearden and go for a seven, I'll just go get Sean Johnson, who no one's talking about. Like, because
Sean Johnson's more injury prone than Reynolds is.
He is, mate. But I just feel like firstly, Sean Johnson would fit in with the way the players we have in our roster. Like, if you have like a right hand side of like, say it's like a you know, or maybe Staggs would be on the right if he's remained. But generally, Johnson's played right his whole career. But if it's like right hand side, you have like Ricky, and then you have Net Tessie and Coates with Sean Johnson. I think you're looking at points every goddamn week at that side of the field. You know, and
it would be nice.
Kicks well, but like it's Reynolds. If we lost Dearden, it's not the worst consolation prize. It's not. And if we lost Dearden, then that was, if it was Reynolds or nobody, I'd take him. But it's just like, I don't know. I haven't got the big desires on him many others have. I think he's a good player, but I'd like to shoot higher if I was trying to steal a halfback or sign a halfback.
From Jesse Fegan, does Bullimore need more minutes? He always comes on and does some good things, but he only seems to be on when the game is pretty much gone and with bugger all time left.
No, I thought he has been pretty good. He had a couple of tough games last year when he got thrown into on the edge, which was another ridiculous Seibold thing. That's why that Seibold 2.0 thing, like, no thanks. Like, the Croft is one issue. Seibold was playing like 10 players out of position. But anyway, I do think he has been quite good in both games. He brought a bit of juice off the bench. But I think, mate, that's fine. Like, you can just be, you know, he's a young prop learning his way into the game. He can just be the guy who plays 15 minutes off the bench. That's cool. You know, if once we got the rest of the guys fit, we've got Haas and Lodge in there. Having a guy plus 15, 20 off the bench and brings heaps of energy is great. That's all you need.
Yeah. Jesse also asks about thoughts on a Carmichael Hunt return. I would definitely be pro a Carmichael Hunt return.
Yeah. I'm curious to see him play in the dry.
I mean, I don't even care how he plays. Just put him in anyway. I don't think that take's going to surprise anyone.
No, it's not. But he looks okay at center, mate. But it's just more so when it's pissing down, it's hard to tell if he's on or off the pace because there's no pace in a game, if you get me.
Yeah, well, rain and, like, wet weather is always an equalizer of talent. Like, yeah, like, great team. You look at the Storm when they play at Suncorp. Like, great teams will always play better when it's dry and they can play faster.
Yeah. There was a try the Magpie scored that was like, there was pass from hour and half. Dearden went to Hunt, held eye contact with the winger and passed to Oates. So he didn't no look past Oates. Oates beat like four dudes and then Kevin Locke supported and scored. But even that small one looked past it. Oh, yeah. K-Man still knows what he's doing. Like, he's like, you know, one of those guys like just held the winger's eyes. And pass the ball, and I was like, man, our bloody halfback can't do that. Get him in there.
It's got to be like, they say it's like riding a bicycle, you know, when you pick up something you haven't done for a while. It's just got to be like muscle memory at this point, too.
Yeah, definitely.
From Jamie Marr, I've got a bottle of scotch for anyone who takes Croft out before the game. How nice is this bottle? Because it's tempting. From Jesse again, he said, Nicho Hynes is off contract at the Storm after this year. Something worth chasing, considering he can play fullback in 5'8".
Yeah, I think we mentioned it last year that I was pretty keen on him. There's been like that 14 or the 18th man in the roster, kind of filling a few spots. I don't know if I want to make him our 6 or our fullback, but I think that'd be a good signing. He did have a stinker in Queensland Cup this weekend. He did one of those occasions where he like, an average grubber went through and he walked and watched it and then watched someone score. It's like, oh no, but it was almost like a 20-meter grubber. He probably didn't think anyone was chasing it. But those are always so embarrassing. But it's even more embarrassing when it's Queensland Cup and you're a first grader.
Yeah. And there's probably like, there's bugger all crowd there. So you can listen to the people abusing you from like 3 meters
exactly. Away. I saw it happen. So every weekend I'll rewatch. I at least watched the highlights of every Queensland Cup game. And I saw him like, Jesus Christ, Nick. I was like, mate, that would almost be more embarrassing than first grade for just what you said, mate.
From Ciara and Paul Watt again. Will Stag's knee hold out the 3 years?
By the way, I think it's Kieran, by the way.
Kieran.
There you go. Will Stag's knee hold out 3 years? Oh, mate. I don't know. I'm not NRL physio, but it feels like serious injuries aren't what they used to be, if you get me. The recovery is so good that, yeah, some players, they do go through injury struggles and get and repeat and do the same thing over and over again. But also some other guys we've seen come back from ACLs and you never know what happened again. 6 months later, you never know they had one.
Unless you doubt how Omega.
Yeah, but he had 4 of them, though. That's the thing. And he's still playing, mate. Like, even things that you look at, like Kevin Durant, right, in the NBA, tore his Achilles. And before... Like, there hasn't been one for a while, but essentially the torn Achilles was like the end of people's careers in the NBA forever. And there's like all these number things you'll see. There'll be people who post players' numbers pre Achilles tear and post, and everyone's production drops like 30 or 40%. But there hasn't been someone who's torn one and like a big player in like 7 or 8 years. He tears it. There's better procedures now, and you wouldn't fucking know. Like, you wouldn't know. You've been that good when he's played, you wouldn't know, because that's how medicine gets better every damn year.
Yeah.
And especially for athletes, by the way. Like, me and you going to the doctor, we get the same treatment we got 6 years ago, whatever.
Yeah, yeah. If you're in the top level of the NBA, you're getting the best the world has to offer.
Yeah, well, it's like even a small thing, right? My mum's had breast cancer twice, and she had it again last year, and she's got through that, but she had it 15 years ago when I was a 15-year-old myself, and it was the procedure back then to get radiation was like you're in a huge machine and it takes forever, and it was like spinning around all that, you know, as you see in the movies now. And now, but it's giving radiation to like a whole body 15 years ago, right? And 15 years later in the same hospital, it's like a small machine that moves around and it's targeted the radiation at the right spot, little tiny box that moves around and targets it. It's like, yeah, that's just in normal people's medicine. So you've got to think what athletes are getting, what they're doing, and the procedures they're getting. That one of the Morris boys is playing without an MCL, for Christ's sake. He wouldn't know. He's missing a tendon because they have better treatments than the average person has access to.
Yeah, I mean, these treatments never helped Derrick Rose.
No.
He's never the same player again.
It's easy to remember like the five or six guys who keep doing the same thing. You know, it's easy to remember that the Tom Dvojevic hamstrings right now, the Tata Moga 5 ACL tears, all those ones. But every year, like 10 guys tear their ACL. And we never, yeah. 2 years later, we don't remember it happened because most of the time they all bounce back these days.
From Scotty Jim, is there any hope or should we stop watching for 3 to 5 years?
I'm never going to stop. I have a problem. That's grim, though.
Yeah.
I think there is some hope. I think at least the last two games, I hate being the brave losers, but at least the team didn't fucking quit. And that's when I can watch my team lose if they don't quit.
I mean, we kept watching the team last year when they did quit, so.
Oh, mate, last year, I was ready for the season to end after, round six. You know, we're talking about the spoon, remember, here in like round five or round six. And yeah, we seemed crazy. It happened. Like, they were just awful. But we remember last year that we could see the try and they get behind the post and you're like, oh, they look like they want to go home and it's 4 minutes in. This is great.
Remember our podcast last year, we'd turn on the recording and then we just read the questions and be done. That was our podcast last year.
Right. When we turned up every 6 to 8 months, whatever it was.
From SJ Chapman, when will the board be held accountable for this mess?
Never. Because they never held accountable in sports, mate. Everyone, it's always the head coach. Always.
It's because no one sees the board. Yeah. But you see that, like, the try gets conceded and then it cuts up to the view of the coach straight away.
Yeah. To be fair, though, with Brisbane, because it's such a well-covered team, the last 2 years, the fingers have been pointed a lot at everybody else, which is very rare.
Talis helps with that. And, you know, people like that, like, they're happy to, like, call it out and have a go.
Yeah. Like, again, you name a chairman that's not Nick Politis at another club, I dare you. Nobody knows him. They know Nick Politis and now Carl Morris. But people know Broncos board members. They know Lockie's on the board. Everyone knows the CEO. People know the Broncos recruitment manager. And again, they probably can't name any other clubs because they're reported on. And that's one thing that happened this year is that through all this, the other people got the blame they deserved as well. Seibold got the blame he deserved. Paul White's now gone. Carl Morris said he'd be in the job for like a year or two. He's been copying it. Peter Nolan's on the Heat. The blame is going there. Whereas you look at a club like the Bulldogs and that board just sitting there like two thumbs up, like, mate, you got it, Baz. And if you don't got it, well, mate, we'll see the next guy.
Get rid of Dean Pay. The board stays. New coach comes in.
Yeah.
Yeah. Barrett will be moved on in about a year and a half.
It. And the board's just like, mate, I don't know. These bloody head coaches, mate, they're just coming here. I don't know what they're doing.
As he wanted, he signed 38 backs on 700K.
Yeah, I know. And we let him, but look at him. Look at him.
Hey, how about that Nick Kotrick, yeah? Last question here from Robert Ross. Lachlan Lewis is in need of a new team. Imagine that for a halves pairing. Brody Croft and Lachlan Lewis.
Don't put that into the world, Lachlan Lewis. We straight away, mate. His dad. Sorry, not his dad. His uncle.
get him both statues outside Suncorp. Stick Lachlan up right beside Watt the King.
Yeah. Lachlan Lewis is one of those, they don't happen as much in the NRL these days as they used to. One of those guys who had like 6 weeks where people thought he was good. I remember he was getting called the Prince?
Ugh. Yeah. Awful. Brody Croft was one of those.
Now, Brody Croft had the two games.
He had that where, because everyone was like, he's the next Cooper Cronk because he was basically the same height and white and had like a similar haircut. And then... Yeah, it was like straight away, everyone was like, oh, yeah. Well, a lot of people were like, he's not the same.
Yeah, I mean, so he had like Lachlan Lewis had that period there. He's like pausing time and looked good.
Yeah. Where he'd like, he'd point to the winger as he had to kick to and then stand there for 30 seconds.
They'd score, and everyone's like, what the hell? this can't last. And it did not.
But I like him some games when, like, there was that Souths game where he just tackled Sam Burgess like 38 times.
Yeah.
And we just hold him down, and Sam was like wanting to throw fists.
I did like that, but yeah, I don't want him on my team. No. I like Robert's comments. It's just a statement.
Yeah, it's not a question. It's just that he's off contract. No. But yeah, that was the last one.
Yeah, but yeah, Brody Croft, mate, there was those two games, as you said, like his debut game and then his first game. So his debut game was over Origin in 2016 and he had a good game. And the next year, he played like four games. But I remember that you talk about that Croft thing. I remember coming in when Cooper Cronk left the Storm and it set me off so much. Fox Sports on one of their stupid pregame shows, they cut them next to each other in slow-mo and they were showing the dumbest shit. Like they were showing Croft passing and Cronk passing. And it's like, mate, if you put me in slow-mo next to Cronk, you're going, mate, he passes just like Cooper.
Everybody passes the same. That's how you pass a football.
And they just said they'd put him next to each other on grubbers, but the grubbers were entirely different. Like they're still like, look, have a look, you see these guys, they keep the same.
The same height white man. Like that's all the similarities.
I was furious. It's like, instead of like putting together actual full plays and things they did and next to each other to show the similar players, let's slow down an innocuous pass. That's how they're similar. It's like, it's might as well take photos of them standing next to each other. Look, they stand. They both stand.
I don't think they have those players that are similar to show side by side. Exactly. That's the problem.
That's exactly the problem. Yes. Awful.
Okay, yeah.
I think we're done.
Yeah, if I've butchered anybody's name, feel free to like message me on Messenger and I'll probably see it in about 3 months, but I don't know.
Feel free to message him though.
I don't practice them before. You just see some names pop up and you're like, I have no idea how to pronounce that, but I'll give it a go.
100%. Right. Okay, that's it. We're done here?
Yep, I'm done.
Okay, see you everybody.
See ya next week, maybe.
Hey! We're the Broncos, the mighty Broncos. We keep fighting every second till the end. We're the Broncos.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.